growing up spiritually. Hallelujah. All right. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. And we said the word desire is something you go after. It must be your own initiative. So you can write it like this. Spiritual growth is my initiative. What did I say? You are not led by the Spirit to grow. Pardon my use of language. Of course, you are led by the Spirit in the sense that you are born of the Spirit. You know, but it's not the leading of the Spirit that prompts growth. You don't wait on the Spirit of God to know you have to grow. Spiritual growth is your own initiative. You must initiate it. It says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow. I want us to look at that word, sincere milk of the word. The word milk of the word, you have two words in there. You have the word logikos. Logikos deals with your reasoning. Reasoning. Just like Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body a living sacrifice, because it's your reasonable worship. In other words, something you consider. Something you consider. So that's reasonable. Logikos. Reasonable milk of the word. Okay, something that affects your reasoning. So that means where is the word coming to now? It cannot be your spirit. Because your spirit, in this context, your soul is purified. So that means it will be the milk or the food of your mind that you may grow thereby. That's why it calls it reasonable. Since the milk of the word, logikos, of the word, adolos, there is milk, same word Paul had used in 1 Corinthians 3 when he said to those in Corinth, he said, I couldn't speak unto you as a spiritual, but as a natural. Not unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk. Milk. So same word. Now, let's move closely now. He says that you may grow thereby. If you observe that Romans 12:1, the next verse says, and be not, oh, that's Romans 12:1, yeah. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. That you may approve or test, okay, that which is the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. So, when Word of God affects your mind, okay, it's for you to be able to, now, it says to prove, which means you're able to test, or to attest to the good, the acceptable, and perfect will of God. What do you mean to renew your mind? To renew your mind, it's a Greek word, aneneo, A-N-O-N-E-O. Neo is always your thinking. That means to reshape your thinking the way you see things. Now, this has nothing to do with reshape your thinking about life. And say, what the problem with Africa is our mind. If the African needs to transform his mind, you know, that's not what he's saying. Because until Romans 12:2, he was addressing who you are. He addressed that Romans 1, Romans 2, Romans 3, Romans 4, Romans 5, Romans 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, and then 11. So he says, you know what? You need to renew your mind. In other words, you need to think differently about yourself. Now, think differently. What's going to change your thinking? What he just wrote to you. Again, he just wrote to you the gospel. In other words, you need to align your thinking with the gospel. Already, you are born of the gospel. Already, you're a believer. You have the gift of righteousness. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16, it lets you know that you are led by the Spirit. That means you are taken from the flesh into the Spirit. In verse 2, it says you have received the spirit of adoption. In 16, it says there's a witness of the spirit. So in all that, you need to what? Reshape your thinking. And that's how spiritual growth starts off. Go to Ephesians 4:23. Ephesians 4:23. Still out there? Ephesians 4:23. Yeah, I discovered that most people that listen to Brother Higgin, we all say, are you still there? You know, Brother Higgin was the one who started saying that. Are you still there? Are you still out there? Still there? Have you gone home? Brother Higgin, yeah. Ephesians 4:23. Alright. And be renewed in the spirit of what? Your mind. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Because it's from your mind that you develop a manner of life. Your life is a function of the information available to you in your mind. Your life is a function of the information available to you in your mind. And remember 1 Peter 2, we saw what Peter said. Just go to verse 1 Peter 2. Peter had said this earlier in verse 12. Having your conversation honest. And we said the word conversation is the word anastrophe. Remember that? Anastrophe. Anastrophe is your manner of life. Your manner of life, or the way you use life. We looked at all the references. We could check a few. Galatians 1:13, Paul. Ephesians 4:22. Ephesians 4:22. I want you to observe something, please. Pay attention to this. Ephesians 4:22. And that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, former lifestyle. 1 Timothy 4:12. Be an example of the believer in conversation. In your conduct. In the way you live your life. Hebrews 13:7. Hebrews 13:7, talking about leaders. Hebrews 13:7. He says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow concerning the end of their conversation. The end of their conversation. You can see that in a couple of other places. James 3:13. But let's bother ourselves with how Peter uses the word conversation. Go back to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 1:15. Watch this. But as he who hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now, do not forget that I explained this to you in the teaching on holiness, that what he's saying is that he that has called you holy, that is, he has already called you holy, so be holy. That's interesting. I'm already holy, but he says be holy. That's contradictory, no. In all manner of conversation. And how you behave. In other words, who determines your conversation? You. Conversation is how you use the life you're given. Conversation is how you now react to your new identity in Christ. Again, look at verse 18. It says, for as much as you know that you were redeemed, not redeemed with corruptible things as gold and silver, and from your vain conversation by tradition from your fathers. He calls every behavior until you are in Christ vain. In other words, it has the end of that conversation is in this earth. But you see, your conversation you have in Christ is eternal. Are you still there? So if you try to be good and you do all things nice, it's just temporary. But you see, the conversation we have today in Christ, in our life amongst men, will continue in eternity. It's not an earthly conversation. It's spiritual, eternal conversation. Follow this one. Chapter 3, verse 1. He's talking to the woman who is married to the unsaved man. He says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. I like the word own. It's important. Brother Higgins said, someone came to his wife and then told the wife that he doesn't want her to wear trousers anymore. Then he went to the man and said, is she your wife? No, it's good to take authority over your territory. So she do all that for me. So the next time you try to tell my wife what to wear, you're going to see something apart from a man of God from me. You know, that was just a bad way. But the truth is, you are not supposed to be in subjection to all the husbands in the body of Christ. Except you are serially married, which is supernatural, I think. Okay. That they may also be without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. By the conversation. That is, the word of God, they are not listening to the conversation, so the word of God that you preach, but that word can reflect, you're born of the word, okay, or by the word, through the word, it will reflect in how you behave. Now I'm wondering, if this instruction is for the woman who has a husband that is not saved, then a whole lot more should come from the woman who has a husband that is saved, and she's saved as well. Hallelujah. Praise God. Do you know you can be in submission to your husband? You know it takes nothing? You know that submission to your husband is your lifestyle in Christ. It's not something you need to pray over. It's something you have to decide to be. And a Christian woman can be reading blogs to run her home. You know, some ladies, I've seen them. This is not my sender, but I'll go ahead. You see their lifestyle is not different from what they watch in the movies. What's that? That's not in Christ. You can't have that from birth. You got that from someone. Someone says, well, all men are useless. Your dad inclusive. Don't be silly. So, he's saying to the woman, look, should you let your conversation be from the word and you win your husband? And then verse 2, while they behold your conversation. So chaste conversation, that means you can have a vain conversation, you can have a chaste conversation, but it can be seen. They behold it. 1 Peter 3:16. Having a good conscience that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation where? In Christ. So let me ask you, where is conversation? Conversation is amongst men. You're going to say, well, my Christianity is between me and God. That's for folks who are backsliding. Your Christianity affects people. It's not between you and God. In fact, it's between you and men. Not between you and God. So, safely, you can see this. Watch this. This is vital. That spiritual growth is not even for you. Can you see it? Spiritual growth is for people. Spiritual growth is a ministry. It's for ministry. Watch this. This is vital. Ephesians 4:11. It says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfection of the saints, katatismos, for the work of the ministry, for edifying of the body of Christ, which is the development. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the full knowledge of the Son of God, to the perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that reflects on people. It reflects on people. You can't claim you're growing spiritually and you're the only one that knows. Hallelujah. Watch this, it's vital. Go to 1 Peter 2:12. We're there last week. Having your conversation, it says, honest among the Gentiles, whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. This is a figure of speech. The way that the word day of visitation is used is the word episcope. Episcope. Episcope is E-P-I-S-K-O-P-E. It's used for visit and it's also used for judgment. You see a couple of places. For example, in Luke 19:44, pay attention. Luke 19:44, Acts 1:20. In Acts 1:20, it is used for Judas. His bishopric. That is his selection. In 1 Timothy 3:1, it says he that desires the office of a select set of people. So the word episcope means to select. So he said in the day of selection, which is the day of judgment. Okay? He says, this conduct of yours will glorify God. Interesting. Look at the importance of that conduct again. He says, they may by your good works, with the behold, glorify God. So what will glorify God? What glorifies God is your conversation. Your conversation glorifies God. Let me say this quickly. He can glorify flesh and God at the same time. There are things the flesh wants and they look okay. You just go like, my God, you mean I have to do this? You have to do it. That's what glorifies God. It says glorifies God in the day of visitation, selectiveness. Which is that in the day, just like Paul says, we all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not going to be about the gift of righteousness or eternal salvation. Or about the indwelling of the Spirit. It's going to be about your conversation. That's what will glorify God in the day of selection. In the day of judgment. Does it make sense to you? Does it make sense to you? It's not your knowledge. Because conversation is how you use the knowledge. If all you study the Bible for is for knowledge. I'm going to take that next week. If all you study scriptures for is for knowledge and it doesn't change you, what you have is not spiritual. I'll take that again. If all you know is just knowledge and it doesn't affect you, doesn't affect how you do things at work, in your school, in your home, among your kids, with your husband, your wife, it doesn't affect how you do in church, then what you have is not spiritual. Because it must affect you. It's just like we used to say, you can pass through school, school doesn't pass through you. You just went to school and then gathered many of us like that. You got degrees that you can't defend. Not in this church, I believe. You have degrees you can't defend. The guy was doing NYSE in the school and they asked him to teach integrated science. And he had a second class upper from his school in industrial chemistry. And by the time he started integrated science form one, that's GSS one, pardon me. Excuse me? You are what? You are a BSc holder. I won't mention the school. And it's not possible. Because this is GSS 1. Because you cannot, and I was telling someone, I said, if you're a new creature in Christ, I thought this years ago in one series, I remember somebody was so disturbed, I thought this series, Fulfilling Your Destiny in God, 1998. And I said, when you come into Christ, in salvation, even your ambitions will change. Because you can't retain the same thing. If your desires didn't change, maybe you were not saved at all. Something's going to change about you. You can't just be bearing new creature as a tag, like a badge. I'm a new creature. And you're not really new. You're really refurbished. You're not refurbished. Your same desires, the same thing you want. So you're growing. So things are going to change. Desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Still out there? So he says in the visitation. So he begins to tell you, pay attention now, the next verse. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king or supreme. My God. He says, submit. He's the word hupotasso. Hupotasso means to give into. To give into. Many people will be speaking in tongues and they'll run past street light, traffic light. In tongues. There's one series on our website. It's not so attractive. People don't know what is there. The new creation and its relationships. How many have listened to it before? It will make you a solemn Christian. Think about 12 tracks. The new creation, that's all your relationships with your husband, with your wife, with your children, your parents, with the government. Remember that? What else? With your church. What? Church. All your relationships. How you ought to act as a new creature. All from the epistles. Not just, I'm sanctified forever. We are not growing forever. I'm sanctified forever. Never forever. I'm sinning forever. Something like that. No, but you got to change. He says you submit yourself. Some guys don't like the word submit. Because submit deals with the flesh. Submit. Submit means you give in. Praise God. Submit. That was years ago with we just had a crusade. We call it crusade, but Holy Ghost meeting. We had great power move of God. And then there was a brother who gave a testimony. He pastors in South Africa now, Pastor Tim Grage. He was in that meeting. He pastors City of Zion. A good friend. I've known him for 23 years. So he just told me a testimony that I just finished a crusade we had done also miracles. So he said, I laid hands on him. I remember that year there was this false casting. I laid hands on him and he went. And then I told him, I said, you're going to raise the dead. And that day he raised the dead. So as he gave that testimony, my body began to enlarge. My God. Oh my God. I'm an apostle of a lion, not the lamb. So I had another meeting that evening. The way I preached that evening was different from how I preached the other day. I preached with authority. Now when I tell you things, you better believe. So the day after, I traveled to Ibadan and we had this camp meeting that was organized by the Youth Foundation and I was there. So as usual, myself and my friends, we are the apostles of maybe the lion too. So we were sharing truths of the word. I remember then we'll have Greek Bibles and we'll study all through the night and we had great times and my God, the world, you know that thing, bonds, just bonds all over you. Think that, my God, Paul needs to come and hear this. Come on. You know, as we went on, so because we slept late, so by next Monday, woke everybody up and we had group leaders. So they said, hey, you guys, so but the group leaders were afraid of us because I'm telling you, my friends and I, we bore fear. There's a way we carry the knowledge of the world. Even the knowledge of the world will run away from us. So nobody could come to wake us up. We were the apostles of the land. So Uncle Ladiri was a head. He just came. He called all of us. Hello, you guys. Why you guys? Because we all respected him because he saw us as sinners and saints in the same day. You know what I mean? You know, he saw us as a sinner before we got saved, saw us as a saint afterwards. So he saw us get saved. So he said, why are you guys not out there? Then he ran all through. And Uncle Azika said, he could be laughing with someone like this, and he's found it with you. You wonder, what kind of human being? You know what that is, right? So he says, Come and wash the toilet. I'm like, someone I laid hands on raised the dead. I wasn't the one, but someone I laid hands on. He says, oh, your anointing cannot wash toilet. Eh? We all just, you know. But I sat back and I felt like Satan said, are you crazy? You're crazy is from crazy. The original word for crazy is crazy. And I said, my God. My anointing. You know, I remember just a few weeks before, the very first miracle that I saw, that the blind eye was open. I went home and my dad was angry. Where did you go? I didn't answer. I felt the fire should have hit him. But then there was no fire. And the man moved close, no fire. He gave me a deadly laugh. My consternation was just like, don't try me. I just healed a blind eye. You know what? I was a carnal Christian who had the gifts of the Spirit in demonstration. Because I didn't know how to submit. You think? You know what some people say? Please, can you sit here in church? The next thing in your mind is your Greek words. Can you please stand here? The next thing in your mind, how many seminars you held last week? Can you please stay there? You remember the kind of church you pastor? Tell Pastor Shegun that Shegun is here. Are you still there? So say submit. Do you submit? Do you submit? He says you submit. That's how we know spiritual growth. Do you submit? Under governance? This is the will of God. Huh? It's the will of God. Look at 16. As free, the Greek says, leave us free, but not using your liberty as what? A cloak. Oh my God. The word there is epikaluma. It means pretending. That really, you are hiding under Christian liberty to live in the flesh. Hallelujah. You know, I read H.W. Kenyon's definition of righteousness, where it says, righteousness is the ability to stand before God without a sense of guilt and inferiority of sin. But somehow I twisted that definition in 1994. I said it's also the ability of God imparted the human spirit that makes you able to stand before man without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Man! Because I wanted to be rude. Righteously. So, you begin to twist scriptures. Living as free, yet do not use your liberty as a reason for maliciousness. Maliciousness is in your speech, how you speak, what you do. Are you still there? You know, no matter how many hours you pray in tongues, that's still not spiritual growth. No matter how many hours you took on the word and you have your earphones on, your head is in 26 places. The word akakula is in 66 places. Oh my God. Oh my God. The next thing, you're in the bus. And then they take you past your bus station. How you go? Conductor, have you entered madness? Really? That's your lifestyle. That is your... It simply meant that you have not meditated on what you were listening to. Remember years ago, one lady, she was in our ministry there, in 96, if I'm not wrong. We had this seminar called The Spiritual Man. That was the theme. So I asked all of them to share. So I wasn't going to preach. So she gave this wonderful definition about the word. And it blessed me a lot. I think it was about February 1996. And then she said, meditation, and I use it today. She said, meditation is to eat. She said, sharing the word, okay? She said, preaching the word is to prepare food. Okay? She said, hearing the word is like being there when it is served. Sometimes you can taste it. She now said, meditation is when you actually eat it. She said, hearing something over and over again and liking it is like liking the wrapper and not taking the biscuit. I kind of thought that was a very good definition. So you just go, ah! You just finished studying the word and your spirit is rising above your spirit. And then your zonal pastor calls you and says, today, you ought to have been in the prayer meeting. The next thing is, what does he know that I don't know? See the point? You're not growing. The more of the word you know, the more you'll be able to defer to people. Do you know the height of Jesus' divinity was that he submitted? You know, he became a servant. That is the height of his spirituality. He became a servant for all. See that there? That's spiritual growth. See that there? Watch this. So, verse 17. The 17 says honor. Some say honor. Honor all. Honor all. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters. So, spiritual growth is visible. Is visible. Is something people will see. It's not between me and God, between me and God, between me and God, between me and God. No, 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 no. Spiritual growth is what people will see. Your husband will see it. Your wife will see it. Your children will see it. Your children will know whether you are growing up or not. Some guys are so lovely in the church, but when they face their kids, the way they will handle their children. Oh my God. Some guys talk to their kids anyhow. They are discipline. That's not discipline. You are carnal. The fact that they are their parent doesn't give you the right to use swear words. Curse words. You just use bad speech. Daddy. You're carnal. To your wife, to your husband. To your siblings. Some guys, the only time you are different is when fellowship members come and see in your house. You're sitting there saying, hey, brother. Brother, you are very different, you know. bless you, brother. Bless you. Yeah. Brother. Just say, fellowship members, please don't go. Are you still there? See, love, honor, fear, submit. See, if you're a servant in your office, you always come late. So why you come late? Wait for evangelism. I got you right. We're in someone's office and he was studying. And then people came to see. For official, he said he's busy. And he said he was doing quiet time. See, this is all rubbish. Quiet time. Do you live here? Why didn't you do it at home? This is lack of submission to authority. They didn't hire an evangelist. They hired a banker. Am I right? If I employ you, and I ask you, I was talking to someone, he was handling something for us in brass in Nigeria. He said, well, we'll pray about it. I said, what? I didn't pay you to pray about it. I pray. Get the job done. I'm a pastor. I believe the word. Get the job done, Jack. Or I'll fire you. Pure and simple. See that there? You know, no one did not hire a prayer warrior. They ask you to reconcile the accounts for the company. Say, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will do it. Come on. Go to church. Our servants. Amen. Spiritual growth. Submit. And many people started an attitude from the school days. They will stop lectures, stop everything available. If they were given room, they will stop exams. So it goes right into their office. It's the same attitude. Stop lectures. Say, one time to me, say, I don't even know, sir. I find it difficult now to study, to read any other thing but the Bible. I say, fortunately, you don't know the Bible. Guy told me, said, I really don't, I don't understand. My parents, they're disturbing my destiny. I said, what do you mean? He said, my father is always about my academics, but he's not disturbing my ministry. And I said, you should have told him before taking job. You need not go to the university to be an apostle. An apostle, I know, is sent forth to the world, not to the four walls of a university. She said, but it's, no, I'm being serious here. You are only unruly. Submit to authority. Hallelujah. Praise God. Spiritual growth is not normally a nice story. Is it? No. Verse 20 to 22, he uses Jesus as an example. But what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is accepted with God. I've seen people, Christians, they will slap a conductor. Bah! Rubbish. Nonsense. Then they now call their uncle. Or talk roughly to people. Maybe to security agencies. I feel. No. Peter says, yeah, you suffer for your faults. But no, if you do well, and then for doing the right thing, you now suffer for it. That is what is acceptable to God. Are you there? Some things are not persecution. They are called retribution. Retribution. Look at this. For even thereunto were you called. Because Christ also, don't say Christ also, suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his footsteps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. He didn't do fire for fire. That's the example. I can't take this nonsense. Because I'm a Christian doesn't mean you do anything. Because I'm a Christian doesn't mean that you do. No, actually, it's because you're a Christian. Hallelujah. That's gross. So he talks to the wife. He says, even if you're a wife to an unsaved man, let your conduct still reflect submission. You still will submit to your Muslim husband. Tough one, right? Now, I'm not prophesying to you. I'm just telling you if that's the case. You still will submit. Remember, he talks about Sarah. And he says, Sarah called her husband, darling, darling. Nope. Sarah called him Lord. Sir. If it's not relevant, Peter won't say it. Sir. And sometimes some sirs are very rude. So, she called him sir. She was in subjection. So you know that you with your husband in the public place, and you're the one doing all the talking. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. Oh, you're a Christian woman. Praise God. Bible says, submit as unto the Lord, as the church is subject to Christ. So the way you treat your husband, your wife, is a reflection of your spiritual growth. Still out there? So spiritual growth is always what you do to men. Spiritual growth is always what you do to men. Let's check a few things, you know, quickly. Jesus taught spiritual growth in a poor view, this way, John 13, verse 34. A new instruction, John 13, 34, or better still, a new commandment, I give unto you, that you love me. No, you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. Men will know if you love. Not if you love God. For there's a cry, oh, I love you, I love you. And they cry like that. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love Jesus. And they cry, Jesus. And someone's trying to pass, and she's going to say, are you okay? I love you. It's not God that needs love. It's that fellow who needs love. God is not deficient of love. He's not love hungry. He doesn't need your love. God wants you to reflect His love. That is spiritual growth. To reflect His love. Men would know. The word know is the Greek word recognize. Kinosko. To recognize agape. In John 15, verse 12 and 13. This is my commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this. That a man laid down his life for his friends. You know, John repeated that same thing in 1 John 3, 16 and 17. The word agape means a sacrifice. It's in a conduct. To sacrifice. You add this one to it. To give for the other person. Watch this. Agape is a compound word for actions. It reflects more in the intention than just the action. The action will follow through, but an action can be kind, beneficial, but it is not sacrificial. So, the sacrifice is an intention. You want to give for the other person. Whenever, I've taught this before on walking in love. I said walking in love is a spiritual initiative that you undertake. And the object of that initiative is the person that you are walking in love towards. That's the object. It's not to satisfy yourself. It's not for you. And that's why forgiveness reflects walking in love. That is, look, so that this fellow can relate with me, I forgive. Not so that I won't feel bad anymore. No. So that the fellow can relate with me. So, walking in love is a spiritual initiative that you undertake. You are the one that will initiate it yourself towards someone in particular. And you don't know love just by knowing the original language and the different expressions and illustrations. You know love when you practice it amongst people. When you are genuinely hurt. Hallelujah. Sometimes we should thank God for the hurts that we receive in life because they test our spiritual lives. If there were no hurts, what's the point of the love nature? The love nature is not for what's good, what's not good. Am I correct? So what's the point? There is someone somewhere. And one thing I'm going to share after I'm done with this series is we're going to talk about how we interact. Interactions. How to handle different instances. You want to hear that? How we interact. Some guys don't know how to say, well, I'm not a social person. There is no believer that is not born to be social. You have to be social. Social, I don't mean social going to the nightclub. I'm saying interacting well with people is the fruit of the Spirit. To interact well. Don't say, I don't smile naturally. Then get born again. Stop saying that crap. Any Christian that is always moody is in the flesh. The Bible says, is a wicked man that hardeneth his face. I told you before, that thing can graduate to a demonic affliction. Still there? So, love is for those instances where someone does something wrong to us. Then what happens? Your real spiritual life comes out. The real spiritual life that you have. The real spiritual. I was talking to someone. I don't know, because I looked at your face, I remember someone. Wonderful singer. She can sing and then the ceilings. What do you call it? What did Hillary call that stuff again? The what do you call it? Forgot it. Huh? The glass ceiling will crack. So I went and talked to her. She and her husband had normal stuff. Husband and wife stuff. If you marry Jesus, you have issues. So calm down. If marriage always goes smooth, you won't have love submit still by all of those guys, the apostles. Love submit. They don't go into details. Just love and submit. So I'm talking to a lovely singer. She just said, ah! She just changed her face. The kind of curses that came from her mouth with the same sonorous voice. Satan would say, ah, calm down. Don't be too devilish. Say, so when I am through with him, he will see money, he will run. When I am through, Christian, when I am through with you, your life. I said, sister, I said in Yoruba, I can now. Ah! Sister, you are canal. Canal be easy. You know, it's in those times you know the kind of anger. One of the ways you know your spiritual life is anger. The way you react. Ah! what you say, you don't say. Those are just the saying, like utterance. That's your spiritual life. Forget how many dumb spoke, or how many deaf saw. Sorry. It's a compound word for your actions. From your intention, you must decide, I will sacrifice what I want, my desires, for this sake, I will do this. It works all relationships in the home, in the local church. See, there is no strife in a church where they practice love. There's none. There's no strife in a home where they practice love. Parents must learn to forgive their children. Children must learn to forgive their parents, husband and wife. In the local church, the member must be ready to forgive the pastor. And the pastor must also do the same to the members. It's a style. We're going to talk about that. You know, spiritual interactions. That's what I call it. Spiritual interactions. There are some interactions, you go into the flesh straight away. You know, you have two options. Two options. Just say, A, B, C, A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B. I'm all A. We'll look at that when we start that. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine. Before who? Before men. It's always before men. It's men that must receive your spiritual growth. Look up now. God does not use your spiritual growth. Men are the ones that receive from it. I'll take it again. God does not use your spiritual growth. I test myself. You know, as a pastor, I saw some things I did. And I told myself, I said, that means that I am not growing. For me to react this way, for me to do things this way, it shows I'm not growing. So it shows me an area of my life that I had to grow spiritually. So, you're not immune from spiritual growth because you take people to the wilderness and you give them 5 loaves and 2 fish. No. No. Don't allow the workings of miracles to tell you that you are growing. Judas cast out devils. And he cleansed lepers. Don't allow that to, that doesn't determine anything. Still out there? Those who grow spiritually, those say, I don't care what you say. I don't care what you think. No. They don't do it for you to care anyway. But when they do it because they care. Watch this. In Acts of the Apostles, look at how they picked Matthias. They said, you know what? Who's going to replace Judas? They said, we must find someone who had been with us from John's baptism. And they said, till Jesus was taken up. Why was that important? Because we must see you. We have to see you. Someone told me, he said, sir, he told me, he said, I've really been growing. I mean, ever since I started listening to you, my spiritual life has just been rising, rising, rising. I said, we will know in the church whether you are rising or arose. You will know. He came one Sunday. He didn't come again. He was really rising. We have to look at you. Are you growing? No. If you're not, you can submit. You're not. In Acts 6:1, they were looking for deacons. Then they said, Lord, open our eyes to the seventh heaven to see the deacons that you have chosen by the Spirit of the Lord. Said, look among yourselves. People that avoid the local church often are those who have very bad conduct. Very bad conduct. You see them, we'll talk about that in a second. You see them on social media making noise. Very bad conduct. Said, look among you. Men of what? Honest, please go there. Honest report. The word honest report, Acts 6:3, is the word martyrio, a third party witness. That is, what are people saying about you? And is that, they don't know me, oh. This one doesn't know you. This one doesn't know you. Then who knows you? God knows you. Go and serve him. Go to his church. Nobody. No, I don't know. I'm not like that, oh. The people who are in your cell. That brother. Those who are in the Bible. That sister. It's good. They don't see my heart. Don't worry. We're not ready to see your heart. What we have seen is enough. To show us your heart will be more dangerous. Keep your heart. Look among you. Let's see how you are. Look among you. Men of honest report. Please follow this. Acts 6. Are you learning something? So, if you're growing spiritually, would men know? If men don't know, who would know? Look ye out among you. The word look ye out is a Greek word, epistomai. E-P-I-S-K-E. E-P-I-S-K-E-P-T-O-M-A-I. I'll take it again. E-P-I-S-K-E-P-T-O-M-A-I. It's just one word. It means choose by judging. Select. Select means that everybody's not like that. Select. Everybody's not like that. Look among. Let's see those who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Let's look at you. Honest report. They tell you in your department in church, hey brother, go buy batteries for whatever. And they give you 500 naira. And you bought the batteries for 495. And you felt that was supernatural change. No, but you are dishonest. You return the 5 naira. It's small. I know. Return it. That's honest report. You are a thief. Return it. Where are you coming from? There's some folks, if you check the phone, the interaction between them and their zonal pastor or fellowship leader, I saw someone. About 10 messages, the beginning was, sorry, sir. Very consistent. I mean, that was faithful. Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. I'll be coming late. Sorry, sir. I won't make it. Sorry, sir. Consistent. There was not one, thank you, sir. Everything, sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. Sorry, sir. How would you give that kind of person a mic to prophesy? You just say, Maron, Agana. Sorry, Lord. That's a sorry Christian. Not faithful. You can't even handle two people. You see some folks, they want to do Facebook Live. They want to do Facebook Alive, Facebook Resurrection. Do you know the reason? They cannot be faithful with two, three people. Some guys tell me, I'm very frustrated. I say, the church is not growing. As how do you know? Sir, 5 members. And also, I'm looking at what can we do? What are you out to do? Were you doing a marketing business? No. I said, years ago, I had the same scenario. I prayed more. I studied more. I spent more time alone. And I'm grateful. Praise God. It was my period to check myself. It was my period to look into my heart to know why was I doing what I was doing. Because if I fail, if I begin to feel uncomfortable because of numbers, there's something wrong in my motives. Something's wrong. I'm not even bothered about the lives of the number. That means there's something wrong with my motives. Do you understand that? Say, young brother, check your motives. In fact, in the 5 people under you, none of them is doing well spiritually. Why do you need 10? If amongst 5, None of them is sound spiritually. Why do you want 10? To increase the number of those who are not sound? Check your motives. Why are you doing Facebook Live? Why are you trying to do internet ministry? What's the point? You are here to take care of the one that are offline. You are looking for the one online. So everybody will also be like the ones offline. What magic do you want to do on air that you're not doing off air? We under you, we are getting depressed every time you preach. Our lives are not making progress spiritually. Are you not just going to spread that fragrance around the world? So check your heart. Check your motive. You pray less because your congregation is not growing. What was your motive? What was the intention? You are only comfortable being the pastor and not reporting to nobody because you want to be a Lord to yourself. What's your motive? You've got to check that. So look among you. Select men that we see. Because these guys were disciples. A disciple is from the word mathetes in the Greek. Someone who's learning applies a mental effort. Look amongst yourself. Why were they called disciples? Because they adhered to the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2.42. The word doctrine, Acts 2.42, is the word didache, a particular teaching. Pay attention. We'll look around. We'll look at you. The guy told me one time, he said, can I join your Bible school? I said, well, our Bible school is not open to everybody. So I said, why? Is it your own? I know someone asked a stupid question. I said, our Bible school is not open to everybody. Everybody's saying, why? I said, well, I'm just thinking I should just come out for 1 or 2 years. We'll be trained by you. I said, well, we do 3 years. You've been in church 3 years. We haven't been able to increase it. 3 years in church consistent, we look at you. We see how you do, how you do yourself in your study group, in the membership class, in your department. Do you attend the meetings? What's the report of your zonal pastors, your church pastors? What did they say about you? After 3 years, you don't miss any meeting. You're around. 3 years, and come, let's train you. Say, 3 years? Yes, sir. It's not eternity. Let's watch you. Let's see you. Let's see how you react on the authority. Let's see whether you give. Let's see. Let's see how last time you live. Let's see whether you attend the prayer group meetings. Let's just see that first. We have to see. But I've not got open your spirit to see who I am. No, you won't. Thanks. To see who you are in the spirit, that'll be worse. What I've seen is sufficient for the spirit. Look among yourselves. People think that when you talk about the word, it means unruly. No, the word is orderly. Hallelujah. Logically orderly. Who are you? Not who you are in Christ. We are all in Christ. Who you are with Christ. Amongst us. Some folks, their default mode is telling lies. When they tell the truth, it's a miracle. She said, come and give a testimony. Praise the Lord, brethren. Yesterday night, I told the truth. Born again, man. You know, there's some believers like that. Ah, don't mind about that, Elijah. You don't know. That's his stuff. She gives testimony. She said, I got people saved. She writes the name, she writes her name. She forgot. Someone was telling the story. Someone so led by his age that he believed it. So I say, how old are you? He can't remember his real age anymore. Age. When you were not born 1900. Because he left one here, different one. So at the point, he's even confused. Where was I born? So people tell testimonies that are lies that they have believed themselves. So what's spiritual growth? Acts 8:2. They mention devout men. The devout men carried Stephen and made lamentation over him. Great lamentation. The word devout men is a Greek word hulalibes. Hulabes. Don't forget what we first said. They were men of honest report. Now, another set is called devout. Devout or devout men. Those who handle things well. Men of reverence. Men who are careful. You see it in Luke 2:25, Acts 2:5, and Acts 22:12. Luke 2:25, Acts 2:5, and Acts 22:12. Men who are careful. Careful and reverential in their conduct. In Acts 9:10, we saw a man by the name Ananias who was called a disciple. Someone who was learning. A disciple. So there are things we call people because of what we saw. And this one is learning. In Acts 9:31, follow this, please. In Acts 9:31, the Bible says the church was walking in the comfort of the Holy Ghost and were edified. Oikodomio in the Greek. They were walking in edification, which refers to spiritual growth. The word walking there, Acts 9:31, is the word poriomai, P-O-R-E-U-O-M-A-I. P-O-R-E-U-O-M-A-I is a verb that is used for a journey. So people were making progress. You could see it. In Acts 11:24-23, some folks were called elders. Look at that one. They were called elders. An elder is a mature person. Acts 11:23 and 24. Then he came and seeing the grace of God was glad and exhorted them and with purpose of heart they cleave unto the Lord. 24. And he was a good man. So I say good man. I mean, people saw a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added to the Lord. So who said he was a good man? God or men? Believers. That's a good man. That's a good person. Acts 14:23. Some people were called elders. Elders. An elder is a mature person in the congregation. An elder. It's not age. It's maturity. That this person is growing. We can see. And you know, you don't know maturity, but with time. So one of the ways you know an elder is that he's in that assembly for long. Not someone who CVs like this. 2006, April. 2006, July. Saints community. 2006, August. 2007, January. Love community. 2007, January to December. No community. 2009, Facebook. No. We know elders among us over time. We have seen brothers, so and so, we've seen them develop. We've seen them grow. We have seen traits of spiritual maturity. Follow this. In Acts 15:6, Acts 15:22, Acts 15:23, the word elders was repeated. Acts 15:6, 22, 23. By the time you see Acts 15:32, you now find Judas and Silas, they were called prophets. So you can see that, is this mature people that are giving responsibilities? People don't just fly from somewhere and become something. No! You see them grow over time. In Acts 15:40, the church recommended Paul and Silas. So the word elder is the word presbuterios, P-R-E-S-B-U-T-E-R-O-S, is used for mature people. Mature. In the natural, do you know where people are mature? You know. I mean, if you have children, you know how they grow. You will see that, no, it's not like, so spiritually you will see it. That this person talks well, reasons well, takes responsibilities very well. That is maturing. In Acts 16, are you learning something? So look up. Those descriptions, okay, we can call them adjectives. They were adjectives that men described who, the conduct of Christians. Adjectives to describe it. Look at Acts 16:1. Then, that's Paul, came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain what? Huh? Someone who is learning was there, named who? Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but the father was a Greek. Let's take verse 2 together. Which was what? Well reported by the brethren that were Lystra and Iconium. Well reported is one maturion. Well spoken of. They spoke well of him. What do you think they will be saying? He knows how to talk. He has respect for authority. He doesn't miss his prayer meetings. He gives. He behaves himself very well among sisters and brothers. Depending on what is, which part he is. I mean, in his department, you can see. He said, look, that, no. Apostle Paul, that's the man. You're looking for someone? That's the man. Well reported. That is spiritual growth. Are you following? In Acts 18:7. Acts 18:26. You'll find Priscilla and Aquila. Same thing. They were known. They were known. People that they can talk about you. Brother, it makes progress. It's making progress spiritually. Quickly look at Acts 18. So Acts 20. When Paul went to Ephesus, see the things he said. Verse 18. And when they were come to him, he called the elders at Ephesus. He said unto them, you know, watch this, you know that from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner I have been with you all seasons. You know. So spiritual growth is what people will what? Know. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears, temptations which befell me by the lying in the weight of the Jews, that you can see it. And I kept back not that was profitable unto you, but showed unto you. I've showed unto you and I've taught you publicly and from house to house. So these are things that you know. Look at 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this. After my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Very, very bad. But look at 33. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that with these hands, that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that are with me. Can we take verse 34 together? I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the word of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give. So they saw it. They saw it. You yourself know. You saw it. So, spiritual growth is always a testimony. You yourselves know. You know it. Look at this. A man was also called, quickly, Acts 21 verse 8, Philip the evangelist. It was a reputation. So, see those things as reputation amongst believers. Go to Romans 16. Romans 16. I'm going to start from verse 1. We'll just run through some important texts there. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Chentra. He calls her servant. That you receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, that you assist her in whatsoever business she has in need of you, for she has been a succorer of many and of myself. It's a reputation. Verse 3. Great Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers. Let's take verse 4 together. Who are for my life, laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but to all the churches of Gentiles. This is a reputation. What are you known for? Verse 6. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Verse 8. Greet Amphipius, my beloved in the Lord. Verse 9. Salute Ubane, our helper in Christ, as Stachys, my beloved. Verse 10, he says, salute Apelles, approved in Christ, that is proven, tested. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Please follow this. Look at verse 12. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labors much in the Lord. These are descriptions that people have seen. What is it always approved of the Lord is the word dokimos. That is, you have proven this person. The same word in 2 Timothy 2:15. To show yourself approved of God. A workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It means someone who is tested. A tested brother. You have tested this brother and you can see in him the fruit of the Spirit in his work amongst believers. 1 Corinthians 11:19, the same word was used for believers. Approved. 2 Corinthians 10:18, 2 Corinthians 13:7, and James 1:12. I'll take it again. 1 Corinthians 11:19, 2 Corinthians 10:18, 2 Corinthians 13:7, and James 1:12. These are believers. But look at something that is important. In verse 16, he now talks of other believers. Now I beseech you, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. These are believers. So, as we have those who are proven that way, we have those who are proven otherwise. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by their good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of men. Yet, these are the same people who have received the gift of righteousness. Are we right? The same people you wrote to in Romans 1, Romans 3, Romans 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10, who are sons of God. They have the fruit of adoption. But look at their conduct among believers. They deceive brethren with fair speeches. They don't serve the Lord Jesus Christ. They only serve their own belly. Are they growing? No. 1 Corinthians 10. First Corinthians 10. Here is Paul. No. First Corinthians 1. I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. That there be no divisions among you, but you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions. He calls them divisions among you. These are people that he just told us they are sanctified. In verse 2, he told us that they came behind in no gift. In verse 7, yet there were divisions. So it doesn't take away who you are in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says that these people is talking to God has revealed all things to them by His Spirit. In verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, He identifies them as spiritual. Yet, in chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, He now says, He said, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk, not with meat. For either though you were not able to bear it, neither are you now yet able. For you were, are you yet carnal? Now are you yet carnal? For where is there among you heaven and strife and divisions? Are you not carnal and walk as mere men? So he uses this to describe their conduct. Two Greek words, sarkikos, sarkinos, to show you that they are reflecting the flesh and not the spirit in their conduct. It doesn't change who they are. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, he says they are the temple of the whole, the temple of God. Same people. In 1 Corinthians 3, he calls them God's husbandry in verse 9. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, he says they are sanctified and justified. The same people. In 1 Corinthians 6:17, he says you are one spirit with the Lord. Identification. In verse 20, say you are bought with a price. But that doesn't change the fact that you have to now use that. Where? In your conversation. So it's not saying that you are carnal does not mean we don't know who you are in Christ. We know who you are in Christ. But you are carnal. You are a thief. You are always bitter. You are always moody. You cannot use your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness to serve sin. No. Rather, use it to serve others. It becomes useful in your conduct. Spiritual growth is not between you and yourself. Spiritual growth is between you, the word, and your conduct amongst who? Men. And where's the first place we are going to see your conduct? Amongst believers. Amongst believers. Are you following this? 1 Corinthians 6. Yet it tells the same people. In verse 18, flee, flee, run, run from fornication. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 14, flee from idolatry, run. In 1 Corinthians 11, he speaks about their conduct amongst themselves. 1 Corinthians 11, look at this. Now this I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, for the worse. Verse 18. And first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be division among you, and I partly believe. So a lot of things are discovered in your interactions among believers. There be heresies among you, that they which are approved, verse 19, may be made manifest. 1 Corinthians 11:19. You will see it. You will see it. Galatians 1. Are you learning something? Galatians 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. So you are removed. So it will show. It will reflect in your conduct, in your disposition. Galatians 3:1. He says, oh foolish Galatians. That is a description of your spiritual state. You know who you are in Christ we are talking about now. It is your conversation shows that you are foolish. Referring to men who subsume themselves and subjected themselves to legalism. Say you can't be growing. You are foolish. You can't be growing. You are foolish. Who has bewitched you? You cannot begin in the spirit and seek to be perfected in the flesh. Galatians 4:9. My little children. 4:9. But now, after you have known God and known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? So when you see someone who has been fed the word of God, retort to legalism, that is not spiritual growth. Brother, we used to do meetings and all that. I just saw one bulletin with him. I thought he was playing with it. I said, what are you studying? He said, no, sir, I'm studying it. They began to frown, you know? He said, yes, I'm studying it. I said, I'm not fighting with you. I don't want to, what do I do with this? He said, well, I believe there are generational causes. I know. He said, my sister, he talked to my sister, I said, calm down, I'm not fighting. He says, okay, enjoy it. I saw him, this was in 1998. I saw him in 2008 or 9, one of the 2 years. I was still in Akoka then. So apparently he was still making progress in that church. So I saw him. I said, how are you guys doing? And all that. He said, I'm going to church. He told me purposely. I said, good. He said, he now mentioned the church. He said, good, I'm still there. I said, congratulations. You have great experience in bondage. That's all. Plain truth. So, he's not making progress. You, after Holy Ghost meetings and after moving power on campus, we see you with a bottle of oil. You are done. The lesser tie. You are done. What are you doing with this? It's a long story. There's no long story. It's a short story. You are foolish. What's long about the story? It's not so long about the story. You are not making progress. Simple. Hallelujah. So don't say, me and the Lord, we know we are making progress. The Lord knows you are not. Who is the Lord? I am the Lord. I change not. That was a joke. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed. So he identifies those things as traits of spiritual immaturity. You are not growing. Don't forget what we call growth is a consistent thing all your life. So you can be growing last year, you're not growing again. You're not growing again. So you have resorted to the things that you destroyed. I saw one picture on Facebook and I saw a guy that we had done evangelism together and he said he should put candles up. And he pulled the thing up. It was like a joke. Ha! You? Too bad. You are not growing. How do you know? Is it not obvious? How do you know you are not growing? We can see it. You move from the Holy Ghost within to the Holy Ghost in a bottle. How can you be growing? You are not growing. After understanding the facts of the gospel, I see you close your eyes and you take bread. You say, I take his body, I take his blood, and you are now praying vigorously by. There was one meeting I attended in 2001. This particular sister had given her a lot of materials to study. For the Hagen materials and other EWKM materials. So, she was telling me she was enjoying herself. That man, I'm learning who I am in Christ. So, we went for a program. She was there. She was there. So, the pastor brought her one very big calabash. Black. And said the Lord told him to put oil in that calabash. No, it's not calabash. Only a girl. Very big. What do you call that one? God, Jah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? He's an African. Black, very black. Put it in the corner. And then poured oil. Oil! And I was thinking, said, whatever you need, go there. Take the oil. Put your head. Say what you want to the oil and all that. Myself, as Allah was there, we're not married then. And I think Brother Kulaya, like 3 hours were there. So they were already getting angry on their seat. Whether I will go. But my house was just saying, no problem. So he said, we should all go. I went there. I just looked at him, see, I just turned back. You know? So they also went, just did the same thing. But this particular sister, after thing, she went there, she stayed. She took the oil. All the books you read, then, you are still worshipping oil. You are not growing. If you like, tell me who you are in Christ. You are more in crisis than in Christ. You are not growing. Are you there? These same people, he says, are the same that he had told that they are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:26. He had told the same people that they have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of the Son. But then, it's not automatic in your conduct. You will have to bring it to bear how you react to circumstances, how you react to life's issues and men, how you react to doctrines of men, is how you are growing spiritually. It's not all talk. Spiritual growth is also doing. It will reflect in your conduct. Galatians 6 and 1. If any be overtaken by fault, let them which are what? Spiritual. So it is sin. Let them which are spiritual. Earlier on, in Galatians 5, he says, walk in the spirit that you not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. They that have Christ, verse 24, Galatians 5, have crucified the flesh, the lust and affection thereof. If we therefore live in the spirit, let us what? Walk in the spirit. So who is he saying in spiritual Galatians 6:1? Those who walk in the spirit. So when you are walking in the spirit, can we see it? Yes. Those who walk in the spirit, we see joy in their lives. They are not always moody. They, are you moody? Even dear moody was not moody. You are moody. You are not peaceful among men. You are not faithful. You are not loyal to your friends. You are just whatever is suffering your belly, that's what you are faithful to. You are not kind. You don't suffer long. You don't know how to bear with. You don't know how to tolerate people. That shows you are not walking in the spirit. The fruit of the spirit is not for God, it's for men. Is it God that needs your patience? He's not the one that needs your long suffering. He's not the one that needs your joy. It's needed amongst men. It's your conduct amongst people. Enough of telling us the word peace is what Eirene. In the Greek, it's called Eirene. Bros, bros, bros. And all your lifestyle, you have nobody you are at peace with. Keep your Greek word. Let's see it in the Yoruba language. Hallelujah. Amongst men. You fought your HOD, fought the department. You even fought the equipment in your department. The unbelievers are just disagreeable. They fight everybody. Even those who are not fighting, they look for fight. Come, let us fight. You are not growing. You are not growing. You are groaning. You are not growing. Because it reflects in your conduct. How are you going to use some of this to say, sister, she doesn't hear anything. She doesn't talk to people in this office. She's spiritual. She's not spiritual. She's not spiritual. She's carnal. If Jesus was like that, even King James would put red letter. We just hear, he said, he thought, he murmured, he mused, but he spoke. And he spoke with human beings. Every word of Jesus was not a prayer point. It was not prayer. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father. He spoke to sinners. He spoke to Pharisees. He spoke to men. He spoke to children. He spoke to everybody. He spoke to him. He spoke back. These people, them. He spoke back. We saw what he said. Right? We saw how he talked. We saw it. He lived normally. He interacted with people. He under Pilate, he spoke back. He didn't learn it. Curios hoyosos. Adonai. Yeshua. He lived amongst men. So people cannot live among men. All we know about is you pray loud. Ordinary pay dues, you don't pay. You wake up the whole community. Yes, we take the nation. We take the nation. The nations are right under your flag. You have not reached the nation. Which nation? We take the nation. We take the nation. I want to tell you a story. Time is going. There's no story like that. So believer can just have bad manners. Very bad manners. How can your prayer
be making some people not sleep. Jesus went into the wilderness to make that kind of noise. It's a lie. You just want to be heard. Hallelujah. You are traveling somewhere, you are in a bus. I want to pray, everybody hearing you. Oh yes, yes. You are not really praying. You just want them to hear you. You see, when you have your own car, you won't make noise. So spiritual growth is what we see. We have to see it. You see, is what we see. It's what we see. People must see. Is that conduct amongst people is what is called growth. That reflection of your spiritual growth, of your spiritual progress, is seen amongst people. Let me go further. I think I want to. Look at James. There are indicators. There are things you will know. James 1, 2. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. By the time you see that you do more murmuring than joy, it means you are not growing. It's an indication that you are not growing. Always murmuring. Always complaining. You know some Christians? Everything they talk to you is problems. Are you not a believer? Rejoice that you are born again. I'm thanking God. Hey, thank God for life. You're not making progress. He says, count it all joy. Look at James. James 1, 19. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That is growth. Are you slow to speak? You know some people? In your office, when you were in school, in the church, in your home, they know you talk anyhow. See, that's me. That's not you. That's carnality. Like Janway. You know Janway? There's something about growth. It controls the way you react. You cannot be reacting the same way you reacted at the altar call. Take me back. Please do. To the place where I first believed. You need to go back to the place where you first believed. Because you're not making progress. Look at this. Lay aside all what? Filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save the soul. So we're going to lay aside. You. He didn't say, Jesus has laid it aside. No, you will lay it aside. All filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Where are they? They are in your mind. James 1. Now tells you, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. If any be a hearer of the word, he beholds his natural face in the mirror, straightway goeth his way, and forgets the manner of man he was. But whoso looks the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, the same man is blessed in his deeds. So, you will know. You will see it. Look at the kind of things that will reflect whether you are growing. He says, my brethren, chapter 2, verse 1, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of glory, with respect of persons. If you are such a person that you celebrate people only when they are men of wealth and means, it shows you are not growing. Somebody, you are an usher, somebody is coming to the service, and then his trousers is he's singing, lift him up higher, lift him up. My God is good, I will lift him up. You know, He said he's doing it everywhere I go. You don't even forget to give him Bible. Say, you don't have Bible. Why? Sit somewhere. There's someone is coming. He brings out iPhone 6, awful, gold plated. You don't have a Bible, you say, I know your Bible is on your phone. You can go inside. Bless you, sir. We are happy to see you in our service. The guy shows it. You are a carnal Christian. No! You don't have such respect. That is not the basis. You are sharing the word, maybe in a class, studying the word, and you told someone, where's your Bible? They say, I didn't bring it. They see someone else. When you see someone, you know. Say, bless you, sir. You don't have Bible. Let me give you one. You are not growing. We do not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. Are you there? He now gives the example of Abraham's example. His lifestyle. His lifestyle reflected his right standing with God. See, if you have faith, would that faith save anybody? No. It has to be the works of your faith. People that were fighting James, the reason that they have bad conduct. What James was simply saying is that your faith will save nobody. It is the works of your faith that will save people. You say, somebody is saying he's hungry. You say, connect to the anointing. He said, no. You don't say, be filled, be blessed. I speak into your lack right now by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let your stomach be filled. He says, you will give him that which is needful for the body. That is growth. Your response among people. Look at chapter 3 quickly. He now begins to talk about your tongue. Many of you don't know that your tongue shows whether you are growing or not. Some people's tongue is not just like hellfire, it's like lake of fire. When they release it like this, you say, who down? Even unbelievers say, brother. You have to curb your tongue. That is growth. Only when your tongue begins to run, who's in both will hold on. Calm down. Your tongue shows whether you are growing or not. You know your tongue is not to God. You can't even seem to abuse him. It's not that you see. Your tongue. And it talks about wisdom. Does your tongue cause strife? Does your tongue cause division? James 3:14. Does it lie? Check your tongue. A little member, but it boasts of great things, is almost more powerful than any other member of your body. Talking about your words. In 1 John 3, let's run. John also talks about your conduct. But let's quickly go to what Paul taught, and I'll close on that. Ephesians 4. Look at the background information. From Ephesians 1 to 3, you will see how Paul lays the foundation of Christian conduct. Again, just like Peter did, he will tell you who you are. You blessed all spiritual blessings by Christ. Ephesians 1:3. He says to you that you are adopted as children. Ephesians 1:5. That's clear. It makes that apparent that you are seated with Christ. Ephesians 2:5 and 6. You are saved by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8 and 9. You are the workmanship of God created in Christ. Ephesians 2:10. It shows you that by one spirit you have access to the Father. Ephesians 2:18, 19. You are no longer a stranger, but a fellow citizen with the saints and the household of God. So that's so clear. It makes that clear unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever else we imagine, according to the power that works in us, Ephesians 3:20. Now, Ephesians 4:1 says, therefore, hallelujah, therefore, because you are born of God, therefore, because you are a new creature in Christ, therefore, because you are a son, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus, O Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. He had already told you the hope of this calling by showing you who you are. Just because of this. He now begins to identify you in different spheres. You will see him talk about you as a parent, talk about you as a son, talk about you as a servant, as a master, as a citizen. He talks about every sphere of your influence. He said, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Listen to this. It shows that your lifestyle as a believer is like a career. You must live that way. It's like when you come among men, you are resuming into an office. The office of a man in Christ. Your behavior must reflect it. So follow what I'm saying here. So, Ephesians 4. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Look at verse 20. And we have not so what? Learned Christ. Hallelujah. The word learn is the word matano in the Greek. M-A-T-H-A-N-O is a verb. What you have realized and what you reflect upon. We have not so learned Christ. Let me give you a reference of that word matano. Romans 16:17. 1 Corinthians 4:6. 1 Corinthians 14:31 to 35 is something that you were taught. Romans 16:17, 1 Corinthians 4:6, 1 Corinthians 14:31 and 35, Philippians 4:9 and 11, something you received. Colossians 1:7, 1 Timothy 2:11, 1 Timothy 5:4, 1 Timothy 5:13. Colossians 1:7, 1 Timothy 2:11, 1 Timothy 5:14, 1 Timothy 5:13. 2 Timothy 3:7 and 14, two times in 3:14. Titus 3:14. Hebrews 5:8. Revelation 4:13. I found out that the word matano is found in your experience. Your experience. You have not so learned Christ in your experience. You are not taught to behave like that. Not like the Gentiles who walk in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened. Being annihilated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness. No control. To walk all uncleanness and greediness. You have not so learned. Say, I have not so learned Christ. If so be, you have heard him. And have been taught by him as the truth is where in Christ. That you put off the former conversation, the old man. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. The word to put off is the word apotitemi. To put away from you. Apotitemi. To put away from you. The same word is Hebrews 12:1. Laying aside. James 1:21. Remember I saw that? Laying aside. 1 Peter 2:1. Lay aside. All malice. 1 Peter 2:1. All freeness, but nothingness. James 1:21. Lay aside the weights. Hebrews 12:1. You will lay it aside yourself. Remember, we say it means something that approaches you and you avoid. Ephesians 4:25. The same apostle 10 was used. Put away lying. Someone say put away lying. Put it away. Who is going to do it? You will do it. Put it away. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 24, having put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. The word put on is the word enduo. It's in your conduct. Romans 13:12, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not make provision for the flesh. Romans 13:12. Put on. It's the same way you will see 1 Corinthians 15:53. Will put on. And 54. Put on. Something you will wear for men to see. Every time you see that word put on, is something people are going to see. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. That means let them see the Lord Jesus Christ. Put it on. Wear it like a garment. Let people identify you with it. That's spiritual growth. Put away lying. Are you learning? The same way he said, put on. Put on
the armor of God. Ephesians 6:11. Put on. Put it on. Wear it like a garment. Wear the new man in Christ like a garment. Wear it. Wear it. I'm close. Wear it. Wear it. Let it be something we see. Wear it. Let it reflect in your conduct. A new man in Christ. So he begins to tell you, let him that stole, let him steal no more. He deals with so many things. He deals with your words. The way you speak. True with every neighbor. His neighbor, for we are members of one another. Verse 26. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Some of us, it's a calendar that goes down. The whole calendar. The whole year will go down your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. So we don't just give place, we give the whole house to the devil. When you are angry, nobody can stop you. Bro! Sis! Bro! No! That's wrong. So, I don't know what came over you. I know what it is. F-L-E-S-H. Flesh. And you know what came over you. Put off the old man. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make no provision for the flesh. Many believers know who they talk to when they want to do wrong. They know brethren like them. Men of like passions. They know if they call for the so they won't do it. That's it. There's one Kanabik down the road. He speaks in tongues. He will understand. He's the eyepiece of my profession. He will understand what I'm about to say. Let him that stole steal no more. The famous prosperity scripture. When you use that kind of scripture for prosperity, were you a thief? Let him that stole steal no more. You are used to writing school books from secondary school. You put, because your parents were illiterate, names that have never existed before as textbook. You collect money. The guy in my secondary school, he collected money for school timetable. Prep, 1,000. Siesta. Because the grandmother was his guardian and she was illiterate but very wealthy. And the boy failed that they didn't know what to do with him again. Because if you send him back to the previous class, he will never pass. You promote him. The better for sure, he will just leave the school and it will become not a problem for you. So just steal him. Said, let him that stole steal him. Steal. These are believers. Stealing Christians. Amen. The men in the world churches who steal. Praise the Lord. Let him walk with his hands that which is good. That he may have to give to him. That. Let no corrupt communication. Some people use F word. Brother! F word. F word. Out of your mouth, but that which is good to the edifying, you have edifying that it may minister grace to the hearers. Give not the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sitting there in redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Who is going to put it away? You will do it yourself. It shows you that it's not automatic. Every time it comes to you, you have a response to either put it away or to accept it. Spiritual grace is always a reaction. How do you react? Verse 32. We close. And be kind to another, tender-hearted, forgiving another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Be therefore followers of God as their children. Followers of God is the word mimetos in the Greek. It means to act out God. Say, I can act out God. I'm born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So continue next week, amen. You bless. Just talk in tongues, just bless God. Amen.